episode of the Great Uck Sportscast. It's kind of a new Great Uck Sportscast. We've been off for a little bit, trying to set things up so we work out some of the kinks we were dealing with, mostly Zoom and connection, and then my computer wrapped out.
It died. It said no more. It said no more Great Uck.
Yeah, it said no more Great Uck. No more nothing, actually, because it just won't work. we've been gone. Apologies. But this should solve pretty much all of our issues. Most of them, except for the ones that we have.
Yeah, that's true. Probably going to think.
So this is our new set. For those of you watching, it's a thing of beauty. But I don't know.
It's kind of ugly.
Yeah, it's not the best.
The best we can do right now.
Yeah, it'll get better from here. We'll actually have more decorations outside of just the Wheel of Fate and a green. So, yeah, stick with us while we work out the kinks, but this should help us bring you a higher quality podcast, both video and...
I try to zoom in a little bit, but I don't know if you guys really want to see our ugly mug.
See, I like this distance because I can't see my ugly mug, so it makes me feel a little bit more comfortable. It's not just my face taking up the whole screen.
Yeah, it's true.
But we do have quite a bit to cover, I guess. Minnesota Timberwolves.
They're killing it, man.
They're not the same old Wolves, apparently. I think they've won, was it?
Seven of the last 10.
Seven of the last 10 games. The only games they've lost have been to teams with winning records.
Yep.
You know, we'd like to see them turn those into wins soon enough, but it is the Timberwolves, so we got to pump the brakes a little bit.
Hey, they I think their loss to the Suns was only impressive considering how good the fucking Suns are.
Now. Yeah, on a 19-game win streak, I think, or 18-game win streak.
They might have lost last night, I don't know.
I don't know. They won.
Oh, did they?
They still
won.
I
thought they were
down. Yeah. They ended up winning. They have a rematch with the Warriors, who those two teams are running away with the Western Conference right now.
Yeah.
But don't look now. Wolves are in the 8 seed, and they are within 2 games of the 5 seed. Everything from the 3 seed down is up for grabs at this point. And with the way this team is gelling and progressing, I could definitely see this team taking that 3 seed. If I could hold on to it by the end of the year, but they could definitely work their way up into that. And you know, my hopes and expectations were play-in, get to the 9 or 10 seed and hopefully just have a shot at making the playoffs. At this point, I'm looking past that. Just get one of those top 8 seeds, lock yourself in and just go from there.
It would be nice to see. Yeah.
Yeah. But what we have learned, actually, I guess has just kind of solidified my opinion. But Ant is that guy.
He is that guy. He's what we thought Towns would be.
Yes. Yeah. Talent-wise, Cat's still there.
Yeah.
Mentally, Ant's got the killer instinct that the team severely lacked for the last decade since KG left. Had it 1 year with Jimmy Butler, but fuck Jimmy Butler.
I do think D'Lo has that kind of inconsistent thing.
Yep.
Which I think we kind of expected when they brought him in. They made that one guy that... And sink those threes like that. That game, D'Lo just kept icing threes. Like, I think he sunk one with like 4 seconds left in double overtime or regular overtime.
I think that was the Philly game. That was double overtime win. I think, he has the ability to take over game.
Yeah,
he just doesn't do it consistently. So having him in that number three role behind Ant and Cat, I think, it seems to actually be working. One thing we saw before the season was the impact of Patrick Beverley. As soon as they put him in the starting lineup, you could see that culture change. On the court, off the court, they have a level of swagger that I haven't seen since that 1 year of Jimmy Butler. And it was really only Jimmy Butler that had that kind of swag. So I'm loving what I'm seeing so far.
It's even more impressive because Beverley's been out the last couple of games.
Right.
And so they've only lost games without him, so... Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been pretty good. I think he's gonna come back, and they're gonna.
Yeah, like, I agree.
I also never want to see Jared Vanderbilt play basketball again.
It's not pretty.
I watched him try to pass it to Naz Reid in that Philly game, and he literally just threw it out of bounds. Like maybe they were on the wrong page, but like, you gotta just throw it at him. Like I don't understand. Just throw it at him. Don't throw it out of bounds.
Yeah, their next month stretch is gonna be a big test.
Yeah,
it's really going to test the mettle of this team and show us where they really are. They play the Jazz 3 times in the month of December. Play the Nuggets twice, I believe. Play the Nets, and I think they play the Lakers too at some point. They've got kind of a murderer's row coming up from the Western Conference. So that should give us a clearer picture of where they stand kind of in the playoff standings going forward. Still really early, obviously. But yeah, I'll be paying very close attention to this next month, just see where they're actually at.
Yeah, the weird thing about the Jazz was that they were kind of in the same spot as the Wolves a little bit there, where they were just barely under 500, 7-9, and now they're leading the division, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's one of those teams I fully expect to get it on track pretty quick.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell's insane.
Yeah, they're way too talented, not to both offensively and defensively. Yeah, they're going to be a force come playoff time. So those three matchups with the Wolves, I will be paying very.
And luckily for the Wolves, Cat avoided a serious injury that fall he had the other night.
Yeah, it was pretty scary. For those who didn't see it, he went up for a dunk late in the game against the Wizards. Just seemed to hang on the rim just a half second too long and fell flat on his back and tailbone. We've seen guys fracture their tailbone. We've seen concussions from that. We've seen all sorts of injuries. And he seemed to avoid all of those. It'd be a little bit of bruising and a little soreness, but he seems to be all right. So, God for that.
Where do you want to go next? Team, I don't know.
There's so much to talk about because I don't know. Let's keep it on a happy path and the Minnesota Gophers.
Yeah, they actually got to play spoiler for once.
Yeah, they brought home the axe. So suck it, Tyler.
Yeah, suck it, Tyler.
We'll have to celebrate that one really hard because it might not stay here for more than a year. Doesn't seem to. But yeah, that was a great game to begin with. It was close throughout, but the Gophers really just kind of took control the fourth quarter and didn't really look back. So,
yeah,
that was awesome. Tanner Morgan, though, news broke that he is coming back next year.
I mean, I kind of get it because like he's not going to get drafted.
No,
I don't even think he's good enough to be a backup. So I don't know. Like
it's like his sixth year now, I think.
Yeah, it's way too long. Mo Ibrahim's also coming back,
yeah,
which is good.
That's the good news. Mo will be coming back next year. Hopefully if he's even close to the same player, that's fantastic for the Gophers offense. And for bright things for him. Still no updates at all on Trey Potts, though.
I think he's gone.
He's probably done.
Sadly.
Still don't know. Nobody really knows what actually is affecting him or what caused him to team and has been either hospitalized or under close medical supervision for a long time, but it gotta be something pretty.
Yeah, it's like Calvin Ridley, but with
physical, yeah. And not mental.
Yeah,
which you know, props to Calvin Ridley too, because as Marshawn Lynch said, you got to take care of your mentals and your chicken. looking forward for the Gophers, they're definitely gonna get a bowl game, probably a pretty good one too, with the record that they have. I don't think they're not even gonna sniff a New Year's Six bowl, which would be lovely, but maybe next year.
Yeah.
But yeah, they should at least get a decent bowl game, and as soon as we hear who they're playing and how all the championship week stuff plays out, we'll kind of dive into that matchup because we'll have plenty of time to talk about it.
Yeah, one thing interesting that did come out in college football this week, besides all the other stupid coaching stuff, is Adrian Martinez actually entered the transfer portal.
Yeah, he was like the all-time leader in Nebraska's total offense, I think.
Yeah.
And he's probably leaving the Big Ten.
You don't think he'd try to go to the Gophers?
Nope.
I don't think he would either, but it'd be nice to see them actually have a decent quarterback, because I think Adrian Martinez is pretty...
Yeah, for him to be able to produce those kind of numbers at Nebraska.
Yeah.
to be fair, it was brought up that Nebraska has been a much better than what their record leads on. They've had a lot of close losses to good teams, but fuck Nebraska for losing to Iowa and making the Gopher-Badger game not for the Big Ten West champion.
Yeah.
Even though they had the lead the whole game. The whole game!
What hurts the most is that they fucking let up a three-touchdown lead.
Yeah,
and they lost in the fourth quarter. Like, what? How do you do that?
You hire Scott Frost as your head coach.
Iowa has never really had, like, all-star offense, have they, since Hockenson?
Not really.
And
it's really just their tight ends. They had Hockenson and Bant, same year, and a Kittle a couple years before that. And
yeah.
Outside of that, they really haven't done a whole lot on offense. They're kind of a grinded out, run the ball, play good defense kind of team, and built very similarly to the Gophers, which is probably why we saw such a close game with Iowa, too. That game statistically made no sense. Gophers dominated in just about every statistical category and still found a way to lose. So So,
well, yeah, it's just like the classic Minnesota can't win on field goals.
Right.
Yeah. Can't.
Settling,
gotta get in the end zone.
Settling too often, not being aggressive enough. Where have we seen that before? But plenty of optimism around the Gophers program. So
at least Tanner Morgan lined up under the center every time.
Yeah, at least Tanner Morgan knows where the center lines up, unlike Kirk Cousins. Should we just get into that right now?
I mean,
just get it off our chest.
He lined up wrong, but I also kind of understand it. Zimmer should know by now that he can't yell at Kirk Cousins in the game. Otherwise, it's going to just fucking end up with them losing. So I just don't understand why Zimmer thinks he can keep yelling at him when he's not, like, Cousins isn't a guy to, he can go out and win you games, but if he starts to get rattled, he will throw the game, quite literally, into the ground.
He's a bit like Cat. He's incredibly talented, okay? Give credit where credit's due. He has played amazingly. I mean, even with the inconsistencies in play calling and how conservative they've been, he has still put up gaudy numbers, and we love it. It's great. But as soon as things start to, not necessarily go off the rails, but as soon as the wheels start to squeak a little bit, you can kind of see Kirk trying to figure it out, and it doesn't usually go very well.
Which is weird, because the week before, you're playing Green Bay,
right.
A giant matchup against your biggest rival.
Ice cold.
And he had ice in his veins,
goes
down the field and gets them into field goal range, and they win the game. But against a middling... Not middling. They're really good. The 49ers are a really good
team. They're the team that I thought they were going to be coming into the season. They are becoming that team.
But it's not like watch out. It's not like you're playing Aaron Rodgers. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo can definitely beat you. Not gonna...
But it's usually if you are lacking somewhere on defense. Jimmy G is not usually a matchup problem.
There were a couple throws where Kirk obviously wanted it back. Like, he threw it off like a first down to the ground and then version at Jefferson's.
Yeah. But I will say, the play calling has been a lot better. They've been actually aggressive downfield. I can't be upset at Kirk Cousins for taking a shot deep and having it go poorly. That's what I want to see instead of them just dunk it off to Tyler Conklin for 2 yards again.
Yeah.
Like, at least try. That's all I've been asking for. And they have done a really, really good job of that recently. Funny thing, you start to get Justin Jefferson involved and you start winning.
Yeah, weird.
Crazy.
Weird how that works.
Crazy how that.
I will say Jefferson kind of bugs me a bit when he starts getting upset that he's not getting the ball. Like, he's obviously your number one option.
Yep.
He's really good. Thielen had 2 touchdowns in this game. Jefferson had a touchdown. He had like, but he still gets mad at Kirk Cousins for obvious reasons. Like, he's throwing the ball at his feet, but just prima donna-y.
A little bit.
Start throwing fits on the field.
A little bit. And the only thing I'm heard about is that it turns into a Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to be the case. He's not quite as much of a diva as Diggs is, and hell of a lot more talented than Diggs is. As good as Diggs is, like, Jefferson is special. He is one of those special, special players. And, you know, I can understand, especially with couple of the throws like that you had mentioned that Kirk wanted back, like, I can understand being upset about those because he was wide open on both of them. But, you know, as long as they keep pushing it downfield and keep him involved, start with it early and don't go away from it. I saw a stat. It was the highest quarterback rating when targeting these two receivers with Jefferson and Thielen. They have number one and number two. Like, in the league, and it's not even close. So when you throw the ball to them, even if you're not a great quarterback, even at times Kirk hasn't been, even if you're not a great quarterback, they make you great because they make contested catches. They make big plays. They go and get the ball. You know, force it to them when you have to sometimes, and 50-50 shot, it'll work out. But they've at least done a better job of that. Now, part of him lining up under the guard, it's so hard for me to get past that because I have never seen that before.
I've never seen it either.
I haven't seen it in college. I haven't seen it in high school.
I've
definitely never seen it in the NFL.
Like a long snap to Madison or some shit.
I was so confused.
Like, what is going on?
And that was the thing is I didn't really see it happen live. Like, I didn't really notice what was going on. I thought he was going up to the line to maybe make check or an audible or something like that. And then I saw I kind of saw the replay, and Madison runs over and like grabs him and tries to drag him behind the center. And I don't understand, especially how, you know, late in the fourth quarter, fourth and goal.
It was like 9 minutes.
Well, I guess it was like 9 minutes left. Yeah. But with the offense that the 49ers run, that's technically late in the fourth quarter because it's tough to get the ball back. But driving fourth quarter down one score, down by eight, fourth and goal, line up under the guard, have to burn a timeout. You get the ball back, but man, it would have been good to have that extra timeout and not really have to rush things quite as much. But in all fairness, that really has been the only crazy Kirk moment.
Yeah.
We're used to seeing more by now.
We're used to seeing him fumble the ball 17 times.
Anytime he tries to scramble. Which the crazy part is he's an athlete. Like, he is pretty fast. He's pretty good at scrambling. He just doesn't hold on to the ball when he does.
And there was a pretty egregious play at the end of the game on their last drive where it was very clearly pass interference.
Oh, God, yeah. There were a couple of those.
I mean, it was going both ways. Like, the 49ers probably should have got some calls, too. Like, I'm not just going to say the Vikings lost. I think the refs in general have been bad all year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, across the board, not even just Vikings game. Everywhere. And it was funny because the Thursday night game last night, there were a couple of calls on the field that the refs actually absolutely nailed. Before looking at replay, before anything, it was a bang bang play. They got them all right. The second Troy Aikman started talking about how good they've been doing, they fucked everything up from there on out. It was so sad to watch, but I thought it was funny because, you know, Cowboys don't like or care about. So,
yeah,
I didn't really mind, but
every time the Saints get fucked, I just laugh because, like, this is what they get. This is karma for being cocksuckers for an entire year in 2009, and you broke a Hall of Fame quarterback's ankle money, so that's fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's hard to get past.
And fuck Sean Payton. Saints fans.
Yeah.
You got no love in Minnesota.
Not really. I mean, like, we're square, we're even after the Minneapolis Miracle, and then going to your house and be in overtime on what or may not have been offensive pass interference from Kyle Rudolph, but gloss over that, because at least we weren't out there trying to hurt players. Fair enough. No love lost, even though I've buried the hatchet.
Dalvin, accordingly, Mike Zimmer, Dalvin's day-to-day.
Yeah, he also said it wasn't a tear, and about 2 hours later it came out that he has a torn labrum.
Oh, I thought he just had a dislocated shoulder.
Well, it was a dislocated shoulder for the labrum as it was out or going back in. So once again, Mike Zimmer lied to us.
I think Madison will do fine. I think they need to get Wong Wu game more.
They do.
They need to use him as Debo.
I don't.
Like a Debo situation.
They really do. They really do. I mean, he is so explosive. And also, how does he not get special teams player of the month after two kick return touchdowns and filling in as a punt returner and doing.
They give it to.
All I know is it wasn't Kenny.
Yeah, that's bullshit,
fucked
dude.
Fucked up. Who else in the league has two returning touchdowns this whole year?
No one.
Nobody.
And I think he's like the only player, like one of four or three players.
Right. Yeah. It's insane. Get him the ball more. And what baffles me is they brought in Kerryon Johnson. I don't know if they signed him. They might have. I don't care enough to really find out.
I don't think they did.
What I found funny from that whole situation is it pissed off Adrian's dad. He called out the Vikings for not reaching out and instead going to get Kerryon Johnson, who Peterson technically beat out Lions' job last year. But here's the kicker. Adrian Peterson is 36 years old, just got booted from the Titans after not doing anything. He isn't the right kind of running back for the Vikings. All he can do is pound the rock up the middle, and they need a guy who can block in their running scheme and can catch the ball out of the backfield and not do very well. And once again, I'll say it again, he's 36 years old. Why would we call him?
Yeah, and we've already seen what happens. You get too old as a running back, because I had Adrian Peterson, and it didn't end well.
No. No, that's not to take away from anything he's given to this franchise. I will forever be thankful for having Adrian Peterson and having him be one of the greatest backs of all time, especially wearing purple. Dude, this ended in, what was it, 2012?
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need you. I'm sorry. Right. We don't. As nice of a reunion as it would be, I'm hoping more so for the one-day contract, retire as a Viking kind of thing.
He left and went to the Saints.
Yeah. Traitor.
Went after the they Saints. Fucked us.
Yeah.
This is like 3 years later, but still.
The team that he was on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like...
Yeah, no.
I heard he's like working out for the Seahawks, or he got signed to the practice squad.
I think he was
signed
by the Seahawks now, which is going to look whack.
It's going to look weird, yeah. But it's like... Why are players' dad, like Odell's dad, was doing this shit too? It's like, why are you even involved in your fucking kid's life that much?
Yeah, and there was AP's dad, and there was somebody else's dad too, recently. I forgot who it was, but it was another like big star's dad who was chiming in. Why? Nobody cares.
Was it LeVar?
Well, he definitely did. But that's the thing is, where has LeVar been for the past couple years?
Well,
LeVar
kid,
Ball, by the way, is who we're talking
about.
Started
doing good. Now he has to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Because Lonzo's actually progressing into a great player.
Which, you know, probably out of the three, him and LaMelo were the two that actually had the most potential. LiAngelo's kind of meh. But now he's chiming in saying that the Hornets need to play LiAngelo and LaMelo together. And I don't think LiAngelo for the Hornets. So
LaMelo's probably going to be good too.
Yeah, LaMelo, rookie of the year last year. It's up for debate whether he actually deserved that over Anthony. But
how many 40-point games did he put up last year?
No, not even one, I don't think. Yeah. Probably zero.
Anthony, like two or three.
Okay. Because Anthony Edwards this year, when he was asked about it, he said, I'm not concerned about rookie of the year. I'm more concerned about MVP.
Oh, that's bold.
That tells you all you need to know about Anthony Edwards. Yeah. Yeah. Back to the Vikings. Coming up this week, they have the Lions. This feels like a trap.
If they lose this game, I'm just I don't care.
This is a trap. No Dalvin Cook. Eric Kendricks and Anthony Barr are questionable. We get Dalvin Tomlinson and Michael Pierce back. Good. No Darisaw. And probably no Patrick Peterson, too. They are pretty banged up going into this matchup. But not
Lions
like Patrick,
have no receivers.
Yeah. Doesn't really matter with Patrick Peterson because, yeah. Who's going to beat us? Khalif Raymond?
Josh Reynolds.
Josh Reynolds. Jared Goff? No, I don't think so.
It's Jared Gall.
Jared, well,
according to a guy on TikTok.
My coworker and I think he should be named Jeff, but like D-E-O-F-F. Geoff, Joff.
If I were the Lions, I'd try to like snag Mariota or something.
Anybody
besides Jared Goff.
Anybody other than Jared Goff.
They're probably going to draft like Malik Willis.
Probably. That's the thing is, going into the draft this year, all of the top quarterback talent are rated below the 20th prospect.
It's a huge draft. A lot of really. I think that's a draft on the back. I think can draft.
Are you giving up on Zach Wilson already?
He's so bad, dude. He's seeing ghosts out there. Like, I don't even know.
Hey,
what
that's
he's doing.
That's Sam Darnold's thing. Okay.
I think the Jets are going to draft a quarterback because they have Elijah Moore and Matt Corral.
Yeah. Yeah, Ole Miss.
Well, I think they're just going to go. Can't be worse.
What about your boy, though?
Fuck Mike White. I have to fucking buy a Ben Simmons jersey because of that bitch.
That's true. They might as well just go sign Jake Browning. He's probably better than Zach Wilson.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, especially right before they play the Bengals. And he goes to the Bengals. Knows our entire offense.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid. I mean, there's no way they would have known he was going to go to the Bengals. But
yeah, right before week one, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
If the Vikings don't win this game handily,
I think the Lions are going to get slaughtered.
But it is the Vikings. Every game is close. Every game, except the Seahawks game, has been one true possession. I don't understand how they've done this and still, like, had Mike Zimmer live, not go into cardiac arrest on the sideline, because he may be 60, but dating like what a 28-year-old Instagram
dude.
Model?
His girlfriend is so hot.
How did he manage that?
I don't know, dude. His
pays to be involved.
His
with the
girlfriend's
NFL.
A 12 out of 10. I don't even understand. Like he's either got a monster hog or
Mike Zimmer.
There's something. There's got to be something. There's no way. It can't just be for the money.
I mean, that's you've got a point, because Mike Zimmer's a solid like Midwest four for a guy. Like he's got to be packing something.
And it's not just a fully loaded wallet either.
Yeah. Well. Oh.
I don't understand it, man.
I don't either. I'm baffled how he pulled that off.
He's a wizard.
Kudos to you, Mike. Can't the best fucking, thing you've done all year.
Can't fucking coach a football team to save his goddamn life, but he can sure pull the dimes in like it's nothing.
Absolute.
Yeah.
That's the best thing he's done all year, by far.
True.
The thing that gets me with this Vikings team, okay? Remember earlier this year when I said I was done? I was done with the Kirk Cousins, Mike Zimmer era.
Yeah, and then they started playing good.
Then they go into Baltimore, very narrowly lose that game. It honestly could have gone either way at any point. Then they go into Los Angeles and beat the Chargers, which is not really a home field advantage for the Chargers, but Chargers are a good team. Great quarterback. And
Packers.
And they beat the Packers. Very convincing fashion. It was a great game, but they showed you everything that they needed to show you. I started to believe again. I was like, well, maybe I'll talk myself back into believing into this team. Maybe they're going to go on a run here, and they're the team that I thought coming into the year that they were going to be. And then they go into San Francisco and mismanage the game towards the end, and Mike Zimmer shows once again that clock management and game management are not his strong suits, which, if you're a head coach, those are two very, very big aspects of your job.
Did they lose a challenge in the first half of the
I think it was the first half.
That challenge, they should have won.
They should have won that challenge.
It was on the Thielen catch.
Yeah, it was the right call. That was the second half, actually, yeah. It was the right call to challenge it.
Yeah.
I don't know how they lost that one, to be honest. I didn't ball move.
The replay was very clearly. Like,
whatever.
Yeah. That's how they lost one of their timeouts, which helped. Kirk doesn't look like an asshole for...
It doesn't look as big of an asshole for lining up under the wrong asshole.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think...
What I was about to talk myself back in. I've talked myself right back out again.
they still have a pretty schedule. Like, I think they're... Like, they obviously have the Packers, have the Rams. And
right. The Steelers game looks a lot easier now than it did before.
Yeah.
The Rams looks a lot easier than it did. Because, coincidentally, since getting OBJ, how many games have the Rams?
Zero.
Yeah.
They lost as many games as the Lions did in the month of November.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
That's insane. Yeah, they get to play the Lions. They've still got the Bears twice.
Yeah.
So, could be. At least the one here will be. I don't know about the one here.
And the NFC is so goddamn bad that it
matters. It's, like, their biggest
competition are, like, the Eagles and... team.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's so top heavy, and like we're out of the running for the top seed. I mean, that's locked up at this point. The fact that they're sitting at 5-6 and have like a pretty good stranglehold on that last wildcard spot just based on who they're competing with.
Like all the other teams have such inconsistent offenses, I don't think. Like as long as they don't lose a stupid game like against the Bears or something.
Probably will.
Yeah, they can't. They can't seem to win it.
And they did last year, but that was also no fans.
Yeah.
But I said it earlier. I see this team finishing the year with 9-8, squeaking into the playoffs and lowering your draft stock for next year when you're likely going to be rebuilding. Because there have been reports now that the Wilfs have been kind of looking past the Zimmer and Spielman era.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. They should be. Very well should be.
Bring on Byron Leftwich. He needs a coaching job now.
Yeah, he is all in on the Byron Leftwich train. I don't know yet. I think he'd be a good hire, but I don't know for sure yet.
Well, obviously, when you're hiring a coordinator,
there's no guarantee.
There's no guarantee he's going to be a
coach. Especially when he's Tom Brady's coordinator. Look at Josh McDaniels. He went back to New England and went back to doing things that he did in New England before, but when he got a head coaching gig, he was terrible. He was terrible. It lasted a few years, and then he went right back to being an OC. Denver.
But John Elway sucks it.
To be fair, I think that might have been the
years. Yeah, well, there you go.
So, maybe he deserves a second shot, Josh McDaniels, but I don't know. Tom Brady coordinators and Bill Belichick disciples. Very dicey. but he thinks they're going to be really good, yeah. And nothing has really panned out from any of them.
The guy that went to the...
Matt Patricia. Yeah. The guy that always, like, looked greasy as hell, had a pencil behind his ear, and...
But to be fair, I think that franchise is just managed.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way you only have one winning season. Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson.
Yeah. And that one, you got to look at the top. You got to look at the ownership. That one, you can't be this dysfunctional for this long.
They're like the Timberwolves of the NFL.
Yeah. You can't be that dysfunctional for that long and not have it start at the top.
Yeah.
What do we got left? Is it the Wild?
Let's talk about the Twins.
Oh, I guess. You got some Twins news? Because I really don't.
Well, it's just the Buxton deal, which at first I was really upset about it. It's 7 years, $100 million.
Yep.
Which sounds really, really terrible for a guy that hasn't been able to play a full season.
Yeah. Pretty tough.
But
it is very incentive laden.
Yeah.
So it's not all guaranteed.
So he's got, I should have wrote this down, but I think first incentive is like $500K for 500 bats.
Perfect.
It scales up from there. More bats he gets, the money he gets, obviously. Then he gets like $8 million if he wins.
Yeah, which would be amazing. By the way, he is more than capable. Our hesitance with this kind of contract for him has nothing to do with his talent level.
Yeah.
And when he's on the field, he makes an MVP caliber impact no matter what he's doing. Like, you could have him pretty much just as a hitter, and he's going to make a massive impact on this team.
Yeah.
It's if you can get him on the field.
He's got to stop jumping into the wall.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, that's a huge part of his game, but he's got to stay on the field.
Exciting, yeah.
He's got to stay on the field.
He makes those plays, but some of them you just got to let go.
Yeah.
When you're running, especially as fast as he can, you're running full speed, not paying attention to where the wall is, usually ends poorly.
Instead of Buck, we got to call him business decision.
Like, business he's decision. He's got to start making some business decisions out there.
Like
business
Marcus
decision
Williams
Buck.
Last night.
Yes.
He made a business decision not to tell. He had the Cowboys over. He had, or the Cowboys money line or something.
Don't remind me that I was playing against Tony Pollard in fantasy. He made a massive business decision. Well, what confused me on that play, I'm going to get into this. Nobody cares about my fantasy team, but I do. Marcus Williams, also the guy that made a business decision on tackling Stephon Diggs. There. He was more scared of Tony Pollard cutting back across the field than he was letting Tony Pollard run right past him for a touchdown anyway. Run at him and push him out of bounds. It's that easy.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to lose because of you, Williams. So, hope you're happy. Anyway, back to the Twins. Guess what? They signed a pitcher.
Yeah, I know. I'm fucking pissed off. I'm fucking pissed off. I knew it was going
to
happen.
They go to the bargain bin and sign Dylan Bundy, who at best had an ERA of just over 3. Any year of his career. He's consistently had an ERA over 4, and it's a 1-year, $5 million deal, straight from the bargain bin once again. Meanwhile, Max Scherzer signs with the Mets.
Like, how do you sign with the Mets? I don't understand. Who would ever want to sign with the Mets? You're Max fucking Scherzer. You're the best pitcher in the goddamn league.
Yep.
Why would you sign with the worst, the most mismanaged team in the MLB?
Yep. Syndergaard signed with the Angels.
Another team that's just fucking terrible. I don't understand. Like, yeah, you have Mike Trout, but they consistently miss the playoffs. Even if they make the playoffs, they're not going anywhere because they're fucking terrible.
Yeah. I mean, outside of Ohtani and Trout, now Syndergaard, they have nothing. They got nothing. And I don't know. I feel like the Twins can at least be more competitive than the Angels are. Like, just throw out last year. I don't know what the hell happened.
Like, literally
last year,
go to a pitcher and be like, hey, we'll give you $200 million. And we're playing in the worst division in baseball, so we could probably win pretty easily at Syndergaard or Scherzer.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't think it would be that hard to trade Josh Donaldson and free up that kind of money. Which, you know, Donaldson, kind of like Buxton, been on the Twins, he just can't stay on the field. He's old. Paying him a lot of money. He could be paying Noah Syndergaard.
Like, all you have to do is look at the top 10 most successful teams in the MLB. What do they have? Pitching staff.
Pitching, and more pitching.
It's great if you can hit however many home runs and set the record every year, but
yeah.
doesn't fucking matter if you're going to lose anyways.
Yeah, it's great to score 10 runs, but it doesn't matter if you let up 12. These teams have pitching, and when I say pitching, I don't mean Dylan Bundy or Homer Bailey.
They have guys like Zach Greinke, fucking Max Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, Verlander was out there this year, too.
Yeah, Verlander had a resurgence on the Astros. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
What are we doing, Twins?
When will we learn that the bargain bin doesn't work?
Jose Barrios, you just traded him away.
Yeah, and what he signed with the Blue Jays is an absolute steal.
Yeah.
You could have easily afforded both him and Buck. Business decision.
Marcus Stroman is out there, too. I think he just signed with someone. Well, he might not have before the lockout.
Yeah, now there's a lockout.
Who knows what we're going to fucking get now.
Rob Manfred doesn't know how to do his job.
That guy's a fucking asshole.
You're telling me.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have two different types of baseballs, and we're going to send them to different teams based on the matchup. Like, what are we doing here?
That is actually kind of wild. That's
the most fucked up shit I've ever heard. You're going to send dead balls to teams so they don't have...
Yeah, like,
the players don't have...
Sending deuce balls to the Field of Dreams game, which that I kind of like. That has to be an exciting game. But to do it throughout the rest of the regular season, I don't understand.
No, he. I think it came out in an interview or something. Like, they were sending the dead balls shit matchups like Seattle and Texas.
Games that nobody would watch?
Yeah. So the players wouldn't have as much negotiating power in contract talks. I was like, this is the most fucked up shit I've ever heard.
Yeah.
No wonder this sport is dying.
Yeah, and... The funniest thing, you saw what MLB.com did, right?
They took off all the fucking...
They scrubbed anything statistical, like names, news, anything that has to do with any current player in the MLB is scrubbed from the website. No players have any profile pictures. Absolutely nothing. And I don't see how that is at all going to work in the MLB's favor, because all it's doing is showing us how boring and how... honestly, uninteresting the MLB is without the players.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're trying to gain leverage to get more money than the players.
I don't understand. Like, this is gonna blow up in their faces.
You kind of need it. And then the players were leaning into it and putting their Twitter icons and their profile pictures as just a faceless silhouette, like it showed up on MLB.com. I don't understand how Rob Manfred, first of all, got the job, but has kept it this long without people really realizing how bad he is.
Yeah, well,
I have been screaming this from my soapbox forever.
The owners are going to realize real quick, without their players, they're not going to make any fucking money. So it's going to be... I'm sure the MLB, the Players Association is going to be like, hey, you vote this guy out, or we're not fucking playing.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. I don't understand why the leagues take a stance so hard of, like... Oh, yeah, like, you know, you don't want to play, we'll replace you. We'll bring in a replacement player. That's what they always threaten, right? What happened to the 1 year in the NFL where replacement players? It was horrendous. It was a terrible product. Very few people watched it. And it just lost the league a ton of money, hand over fist. That's why it's never happened since then. So now them using that as a bargaining chip... It's not going to work. And this lockout's just going to go on forever and ever. And I honestly, people are optimistic that it's going to end before. I'm not. I think it's going to cut into the season if there is.
I think once players start. Wait, I think. Either voting Manfred out or.
Loosening their stance. Yeah. I hope they do. I don't want to miss baseball. I love baseball to death. I always have, always will. Doesn't matter about the popularity, maybe to me, but. You know, just look at the NHL. Look at what happened in the one lockout season in the mid-2000s. And the NHL is still recovering, popularity-wise and revenue-wise, from that 1 year that they missed because of a lockout. It's not hard to see what will happen to the MLB if they go through a full season without baseball. It could be the end of major.
It was already on the decline before this.
Yeah.
That's going to be harder. Mentality where they
right because without the players, what product do they have?
Right, yeah, jack shit. What
do you got it? Minor league baseball.
Send your minor league team up there.
Yeah, how much money do you make on that?
Yeah, what do they say? What are they going to say after they don't want to play?
Exactly. Once they start getting screwed as bad as the current players are, Yeah. I mean, an endless cycle. I don't know. It's why do you think the NFL and the NBA are flourishing? This is a player-driven league. Players have the power.
And yeah, MLB BAM is probably the worst.
Terrible.
Yeah, we're just not going to allow you to market your players or have the players market themselves.
Nope. Like,
what the f***? What are they? What are you doing?
There was a period of time too. Any MLB highlights posted online had to be from an officially sanctioned account. Yeah. It had to be the MLB account or a team account. If anybody posted anything online on Twitter, on Instagram, anything to like show off their favorite player or market their team, it was scrubbed instantly. They've loosened their stance on that a little bit, but still ridiculous. I don't understand how are you supposed to do
a boring approach in your
ridiculous.
Mike Trout is probably charismatic player in the
right. He's also like he's squeaky clean. Never gets in trouble. He's the role model for kids. Like he takes time before every game, go and talk to kids, sign baseballs, take pictures with them. He does everything right, and nobody knows who he is. Nobody knows who he plays for, what position he plays, or the fact that he's the greatest player of this generation and one of the greatest players we've ever seen. Who knows that?
Carmelo, not Carmelo. That was fucking Allen Iverson. He's the Allen Iverson of baseball. Never gonna win.
I'd say so.
Probably never.
Not if he stays with the eight. But yeah, I feel a little bit better.
I do too. I really wanted to rant about the MLB.
Yeah, it's that's the thing with the MLB is like you don't realize how much has been pissing you off until you start talking about it, and then you realize how much you've kind of just put away. Doesn't matter.
I don't know why you'd want to.
Oh, but to get happy again, the Minnesota Wild are tied with the Leafs with for the most wins in the NHL right now. They're absolutely destroying, and they play the Leafs, or I guess today by the time you hear that.
5 straight.
Pretty handily for the most part.
Yeah. There's only like a handful or 3-point games. Like
Everybody's complaining about Kaprizov not scoring.
Got like 20 assists.
Yeah, he's doing literally everything else for this team, and all of a sudden, the goals are coming too.
Yeah.
He had a 2-goal game last night, scored beautiful goal against the Devils a couple days ago. Absolutely shook the defender one-on-one and snuck it into the close the near post. This team is better than I was anticipating. I thought they were going to be good.
They're terrifying. As an opposing team, I don't want to play the Wild.
They're deep, they're talented, and they can score from any line, from just about anywhere in the offensive zone we've seen. The only thing they can't do is score on the power play. And I don't understand why.
If you have 5 goals a game, then...
Yeah. If you're scoring that much without the power play, you'll probably be okay.
Yeah.
Just more of a reason to call up Boldy. Because Matt Boldy has proven, since he got to Iowa, that he does not belong in the AHL. He is in a class of his own when he's playing in the AHL. And he not only needs to, but deserves to be on the Wild roster.
Yeah,
and on the power play, by the way.
The problem is that, like, as a coach, I feel like it's probably a hard decision because your team is clicking really...
Yeah, who do you bump out if you're bringing up Boldy?
It's hard. I don't know. I would like to see him up here, but I don't want to fuck up the chemistry.
Right.
Force anything hard.
Yep, and there are, you know, there's still rumblings that they're going to trade for, was it Ryan Miller? JT Miller. Yeah, from the Canucks.
Fiala. Fiala was in the talks. But it's hard now because Fiala's like...
starting to pick it up. And that was the thing is, like, they were concerned about his goal scoring. But when you kind of dove deeper into the statistics, it was really a lot of it was unlucky.
Yeah.
Because based on the amount of shots, where he was shooting from, and the space that he had, they just weren't going in. Goalie was just making saves. He was hitting the posts like that much off, and Fiala's way too talented to not figure that out. And it seems like he's starting to.
And he really picked it up in the couple games in the playoffs last year
when Vegas would key on Kirill and take him out. You know, as a rookie, first time in the playoffs, that's got to be pretty difficult to deal with.
Yeah,
having a guy like Fiala who can step up and kind of take control is huge.
And another guy that's just been on fire is Ryan Hartman. This guy is insane. Like, I think his goal production has like doubled since last year. Like,
yeah,
he's always been decent, but he's having an insane year. I think he's leading the team right now.
Yeah, I think it took him about 10 games this year to score as many goals as he did all of last year.
Like, the guy is just on fire.
Yeah.
Him and Kaprizov have like, They just feed each other, they rebound for each other. Like, they're just clicking. Like,
yeah, when teams clicking together. When Kaprizov, Zuccarello, and Hartman are on the ice together, it is absolute electric fact.
Yeah, Zuccarello
cannot look away.
Zuccarello is another guy that's surprised me. He's having a really.
Yeah, I know when they signed him, he was kind of a big name, but he had come off a year or two of not playing too well, so they got him at a price and. Nobody really knew how that was going to work out.
Yeah.
But then the second they put him on the line with Capri, clicked instantly. They have so much chemistry. Insane.
And a couple of their rookies, too, like Duhaime and Pitlick, have been insane as well. Like, Pitlick had that huge game where he had a hat trick. He had another goal last night, I think. And Duhaime's also gotten... I don't know if he's...
I was at the game where he scored his first ever.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was actually, it was really funny. It was one of those ones where he didn't even, like, wasn't even looking for the puck. Didn't even try to shoot. Yeah. He just, like, he lost his stick, bent down to pick up his stick, and while the stick was on the ground, it bounced off of his stick and went in. It was pretty funny, but yeah, it was pretty cool to see, and it actually seems to be kind of flourishing into a pretty solid depth player. Good piece for this team, so... They made a lot of good moves, like in a low level moves in the offseason.
Greenway finally broke out too.
Greenway's one of those guys that you just got to get him on track. Get him on track, let him go out there, throw the body around, make some big hits.
He's kind of like Matt Dumba, where he's kind of scrappy.
Yeah.
That's why they like him, it's because he's scrappy. He's not a guy that's going to however many goals. He'll go out there and scrap with the best of them. And kind of a heartwarming moment. Playboy's jersey was last night.
I thought they were like the whole ceremony.
They announced it.
They announced it. It's going to be the first jersey ever retired by the Minnesota.
And I think he 100% deserved.
Oh God, yeah, yeah. I mean, he's the franchise leader in all time points. Played his whole career here, captain here for what, a decade? Yeah. he was the one that kind of picked up the mantle when Gabrick left. They very vaguely remember, kind of before I was, yeah. Koivu beyond deserves that. I really want to try to get tickets to go to that game. Just see it.
It's
just
probably
be
already
there.
Sold out.
It's probably already sold out, or on SeatGeek or StubHub or bleep those two out. Secondhand tickets.
I don't know.
No free ads. You can probably find them on there, but they're going to be hundreds of dollars.
Gonna be pretty.
I'll see what I can do, but yeah. That's going to be really cool to see. Finally get a jersey hanging up there in the rafters.
I think after last night, they've now won 5 straight.
They're on a roll, and they get the Leafs tomorrow. It's going to be a real test, actually, for both sides. I'm excited to see Kaprizov against Austin Matthews and see how that plays out. That should be exciting. So, is it home?
Yeah, they're at home.
Yeah, they're going to win. We're confident. It's the one Minnesota team I can... legitimately put all my confidence in that they're actually going to win a game I say they're going to win.
It's kind of crazy because all the teams with these electric young guys, like Kaprizov's in his second year.
Yep.
Connor McDavid's in like his year, I want to say.
Fifth or sixth, but he's still only
mid-20s
at the oldest. He's still really young.
And Austin Matthews.
Yep.
And they're all at the tops of the division, I think.
Yeah. It is actually crazy.
Edmonton, Toronto might be.
No, because they were last year, just Canada was a separate entity because of COVID, but it's still kind of hurting my brain transitioning from the COVID divisions back to the regular divisions, because I keep thinking, when are we going to play Vegas again?
Right.
Like, wait, I thought we played them a ton. No, we really don't, because they're not actually in our division.
All these teams with super young guys are all at the same time, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see. Because you still have the old hats. You still got Crosby. You still got Ovechkin. Those guys are still producing. Those teams are. Then you've got that influx of young talent really, really coming up. And don't forget about the Panthers. I mean,
Panthers are insane.
To be honest, I couldn't tell you who's on the Panthers. They just keep
Former Wild player Andrew Burnett is their coach.
Oh.
Their interim coach. I think he's probably got the job locked up now.
Probably.
After their incredible start.
Yeah, they're still winning, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be a force in the East.
It's kind of weird, though, because they're like, I think they've only lost one game at home. 500. Yeah.
Pretty crazy. They got to hope they lock up the one or two seed for the playoffs pretty much, because otherwise they're done.
It might have changed since the last time I saw it, but I was like, that's a really bad that they played crazy. That many games at home.
Yeah, I'm not gonna label it. Keep an eye out for them being a potential F frauds. Potentially. If you can only win at home, not gonna get you very far in the playoffs.
Yeah, but if you're if you've only lost like five games at home.
Panthers will see. How gross would it be if it was the Florida Panthers Stanley Cup? Oh.
I'd be cool to see it.
It'd be a cool story. I'll say that. Traditional hockey fan. Who cares?
I mean, if the Wild make the
Stanley Cup. It's going to be the Wild and the Panthers.
The Wild make the Stanley Cup, traditional hockey fans aren't going
to. I'm calling it right now. It's the Wild and the Panthers. Stanley Cup.
Don't bet on that, guys. That's a bad Stanley Cup.
Yeah, if you've listened to any other episode and you've heard everything else that I've predicted, I've been wrong and very, very wrong almost every time.
Hey, can I tell you something that might piss you off?
No.
Backseat coach sports advisors are telling people to take off.
Yeah, we got to wrap up here pretty soon. I need to go watch the Pac-12 championship game as a massive Oregon fan. Ready to have my heart broken again. Really am.
You want to do shoot your shot then?
Yeah. Let's go ahead and do our shoot your shot predictions. You can start us off if you'd like this week.
All right. I wrote this down as a one. I think it's probably going to be like a two or three. I have the Wolves winning in Brooklyn for tonight, actually.
Even without Kyrie.
Yeah.
You got James Harden and Kevin Durant to deal with. So.
Also, I think it's bullshit that Kyrie can't play just because he's in New York.
Yeah. Just because the vaccine mandates in New York and all that bullshit.
It's not even that he's anti-vax. It's like, add that people's jobs over not getting that.
Right, which weirdly is something that I kind of...
Yeah, he
does something kind of dumb and stupid.
He says wacky shit.
He says the earth is flat and walks around with a burning sage bush around the court before every game for good omens, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, that's kind of weird.
That's like the most respectable thing he said in 5 years.
Yeah. I'll actually kind of stay in that vein. I have the Wolves will finish the month of December with a winning record. And that's not like their overall record. I mean, just the games they play in December. They have a murderer's row, and I still think they're above 500. From what I've seen so far, I've got that as a two, because yeah, there is a lot of games in December. But from what I've seen, very much on the table.
December usually the hardest month.
It's like December and like February, March are typically the hardest because they're kind of a drag. Like, they don't have a huge impact on how the season plays out, but it is. Typically, from December into January, is when the good teams, the playoff teams, really start to set themselves. So I'm all in. I'm all in.
I think the Wolves have been surprisingly good.
Yeah.
I mean, even their bench.
The playoffs.
Like, I wasn't super excited about Naz Reid. Been really good.
Yeah.
I think the Wolves are. I think they're top 10 in defense, but they're definitely like top.
Yeah, they're playing well.
Defense has been surprisingly good. Even Cat's defense.
Better. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's good, but it's better. He's actually playing defense,
I think
we'll say.
Chris Finch said something pretty said Cat has a lot more joy.
Yeah, he does seem to be having a little bit more fun.
Yeah, which is really good to see after he's dumb shit at the beginning.
And after having what was it, six of his family members die from COVID.
Yeah, I'm sure he's
that is unbelievable. Yeah, I'm excited. What's your second one?
My second one is the Vikings win in Detroit.
Nice.
Pretty easy one. I think like this is a must-win game for them. I think typically this season they've been pretty good. They went into San Diego and not San Diego. Basically a must-win for them halfway through the season. That one. Packers was bad. I think every once in a while Kirk just has these.
I don't think this.
I think he got that out of the system. He still kept him in the game.
Right. If they stay aggressive on offense, there's nothing on that Lions. But so it's weird. We don't tell each other these predictions before we start. My second one is the Lions will, or the Vikings will beat the Lions by 10 plus points. So I don't see this game being that close.
Yeah.
I didn't see the first one being that close, and it was, but I just,
they didn't have their offense figured out, and they didn't have Alvin. Yeah. Madison still had a really,
they seem to have a different offensive philosophy at this point, and they're not, you know, they've played pretty good teams, but they don't seem to be playing down to their competition.
And,
so,
again, the Lions don't have anyone on need.
No, and DeAndre Swift is out too, which is by far their best offense.
Although Jamal Williams is probably one of my favorite players in the NFL.
Yeah. I do like Jamal Williams. Funny. He's hilarious. The fact that was it him that dressed up in his full gear before the game to go to a press conference and say, yeah, I'm playing.
I don't know.
He was wearing like his full uniform to say that he was playing.
He's got to be one of the funniest guys in the NFL.
Yeah.
Did you see that press conference right after he got signed by the Lions?
Yeah.
He's like talking about the Packers as like one of his exes.
Yeah,
like,
he was just like, yeah, like my crazy ex-girlfriend dumped me on the street, didn't want me back. Yeah. You know, Lions, they brought me in.
They fed me.
They paid me. Of course I want to be here.
Oh, God. It makes me laugh every time I see him.
That was pretty great. What's your third one?
Another pretty easy one. Wild are going to win tomorrow. Toronto.
David, that was also mine.
Was it?
Yeah. I said I've got the Wild beating the Leafs on Saturday and will take sole possession of the best record in the league.
Well, I originally had them winning Jersey last.
Yeah,
before,
which they did, by the way.
Got delayed.
Which they did. Yeah, that's all we got. Should we do a Wheel of Fate bet?
Yeah, what do you want to do, Don?
You want to do another random NFL game?
Sure.
Find what we got on the slate this week. We're going to take the Vikings out of it.
Yeah.
That's a given. Let's see. NFL schedule for this week. We've got Bucks-Falcons. Cardinals-Bears.
I think Bucks-Falcons is actually going to be a little bit more interesting than people
think. The line is 10.5, right? That's the spread.
Yeah, but both their defenses suck ass.
That's true. Could be a shoot. Now, here's a juice. Chargers-Bengals. That could be an absolute shootout. That could be a good one. There's Colts-Texans, Eagles-Jets, Giants-Dolphins. There's a lot of gross matches. Jags-Rams, Washington and Vegas. That could be a good one. 49ers-Seahawks, Ravens-Steelers, Broncos-Chiefs, and Bills-Patriots.
Done Bills a lot, though.
We have done the Bills.
I think we should probably do
Chargers-Bengals. I'm in on that, and I'm take first choice. Who do you want?
I'll take the Chargers. I think they are in a must-win situation if they want good pass. I think the AFC is hard this year, so I think they're
so
in a must-win game.
Yep, and that'll just make me double down on Joe Burrow because he's my quarterback in fantasy, so... As much as Justin Herbert's my boy, former Duck, love it. Let's find out what our punishment's going to be. Caleb's punishment is going
to be. You mean your punishment?
We'll see. Ooh, it's both due punishments.
Fuck.
But again.
God damn it.
I spoke too soon.
This happens every time.
I spoke too soon. Let's get a better spin on that one. The one chip challenge.
Fuck.
We both have to do that next time. All right, well, tune in next week to see us both pretty much die from the one chip
challenge. We're gonna have to have like gallons of milk on hand.
And just to make it interesting, should we do it before the show, like right as the show starts?
I guess. I mean, we're not gonna be able to talk, but yeah,
it's fine.
It'd be funny.
I can never really talk that well anyway.
It's gonna be like I guess no free ads, but
no free ads.
Yeah, I can't say it.
We're not going to say the brand name, but it will be the One Chip Challenge. Yeah, thanks for tuning in to our new Great Ed Sportscast. We actually have a set. We're actually in the same room. This is awesome. Yeah, tune in each week. We'll probably have a new decoration up every week. So,
or we'll try to.
Or at least we'll try to. We got a few that we could. So, yeah. Thanks for tuning in. And with the socials, Caleb.
TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. I'm going to try and start posting more on TikTok and Instagram. We've been kind of slacking because actually Noah's been really good on the Instagram.
Yeah, shout out to Noah. He's been killing it so far.
TikTok, I'm going to try and do some like fantasy content. I guess it's almost over now, but kind of interesting.
We got the fantasy playoffs coming.
Maybe I'll just talk shit about other teams.
You know? It'll work. We'll figure something out. Yeah, thanks for tuning in. And also, suck it, Tyler. The axe is ours.
Suck it, Tyler. The Saints lost, but they lost to the Cowboys. So I guess that doesn't mean as much as you like the Cowboys, too.
It's okay. We love you, Tyler. Suck it.
That's a good spot to end it.